in cooperation with the Kalamazoo branch American Association of University Women, station WKZO brings you now the seventh in a series of programs devoted to the business problems of the average family and the average individual. Tonight's program, which was recorded earlier, will consist of an interview with Mr. Winfield Hollander, Vice President of the First National Bank in Kalamazoo, on the subject of estate planning. Mr. Hollander will be interviewed by Mrs. F.C. Birchfield, Program Chairman of the Kalamazoo Branch, AAUW. We hear first from Mrs. Birchfield.
Mr. Hollander, you're Vice President in the Trust Department of the First National Bank, and I'm sure you have many questions asked you in regard to estate planning. I've gathered from my very superficial observations that estate planning is consistently gaining in importance in the minds of many people, that it's being considered by more and more persons who have an earnest desire to see that the properties which they've worked so hard to accumulate are taken care of in the most effective way. There is evidence that thoughtful persons are showing more respect for good planning in lieu of the hit-and-miss, trial-and-error methods with which many people dispose of their properties. I would think that the same principles of building would apply if a person were building a house or an estate. No builder can build without plans or without knowledge of the tools needed. In estate planning, we need to seek the services of persons skilled in the business of estate planning. Hence, Mr. Hollander, I would like to ask you about some of the problems involved in estate planning. First, would you tell us just what is estate planning?
The conservation of wealth has at all times been fully as difficult as the acquisition of it. Present tax rates make conservation doubly difficult. Careful planning, however, can do much to reduce shrinkage. Planning your estate means the arranging of your property affairs during your lifetime so that at your death a maximum of economic benefits passes to your beneficiaries with a minimum of cost. Planning is not limited to the single act of executing a will. It may include investing and reinvesting of savings with due regard to liquidity, selling, retaining, or acquiring certain property, making gifts to members of your family, contributing to charitable or other similar organizations, setting up a living trust, taking out life insurance, purchasing an annuity, changing the legal form of your business, making arrangements for the handling or disposition of your business at death. It may also involve the refraining from doing some of these things.
Well, what would you say is the object of estate planning?
The object of estate planning is twofold. In the first place, the primary object is to distribute an estate in exact accordance with the planner's designs and intentions. Naturally, since taxes are among the primary causes of estate shrinkage, they loom large in any plan to protect the estate against excessive losses in transit from generation to generation. But it must be remembered that a tax savings achieved at the expense of the primary beneficiary's desired security and financial independence may not be worth its price. Estate planning assures one that his property will go exactly where he wants it to go after his death, and it is within the general framework of his desires that certain changes may be made which will afford tax savings.
Well, then, estate planning is the process of getting every detail connected with one's property into the best possible relationship. Now, you stress the importance of planning an estate. How much property do I have to possess before I'm qualified to seek expert advice in the matter of planning an estate? Probate studies, I think, show that about 97% of the estates probated are under $25,000. Now, if I have an estate of $25,000 or under, what steps should I take in order to set up a plan?
While it is true that losses resulting from a lack of estate planning are of greater magnitude in the larger estates, it should be remembered that a smaller estate can much less afford to sustain or incur a loss. If a $1 million estate, for instance, should incur a loss of $20,000 through and as a result of improper planning, the result would not be particularly serious. If, however, a $25,000 estate sustained a similar loss, the result would be almost fatal.
Well, then you think estate planning is of especial importance to smaller-sized estates because they can ill afford to sustain tax losses. Now, what information would an estate planning officer require?
A trust company officer in planning in an estate, in cooperation with a family attorney and life underwriter, would need complete information as to all of one's property, both real and personal. What gifts, if any, one has made during his lifetime. What life insurance one carries. Names of companies, amounts, beneficiaries, settlement options, and so forth. Marital and family status. business connections and whether involved in a partnership, whether any trusts were ever set up, whether the person possesses any powers of appointment, and so forth.
Well, there seems to be an increasing impetus in the direction of having estates planned, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Well, now, what's brought about this enlarged emphasis on estate planning?
Well, several things have brought about an increased emphasis on estate planning. First of all is the matter of taxation. The impact of death taxes levied by both state and federal government is a greater burden all the time. The increasing cost of government means a greater demand for revenues, which can only be met by increased taxation.
Well, do you find, as a general rule, that women are interested in whether or not their husbands plan their estates? Or do you find that their concern comes mainly when they have been pushed into financial responsibility and independence after their husband's death?
Many women are not concerned whether or not their husbands plan their estates, although more and more women are becoming interested in the matter, and the pendulum is swinging away from the situation I've indicated. All of us are subject to the fault of procrastination, and people put off planning their estates and executing a will many times until it is too late.
Well, when women are faced with these responsibilities, what's the best thing for them to do?
It is logical that women should appreciate and use trust department services. A woman who has tried to settle her husband's estate, or who has listened to the experience of a friend who has done so, usually decides that she does not care to undertake the settlement of an estate herself, or to ask her children or a friend to assume the burden. Furthermore, a woman who has attempted to manage her husband's estate after it has been settled realizes it to be a difficult and exacting task. It imposes upon her the task of managing her husband's investments, the perplexing problems of taxation and accounting, and subjecting herself to the advice of well-meaning but uninformed friends. For these and other reasons, more and more women who have inherited estates are placing their investments in agency accounts or living trusts to be managed by a trust company. As more and more women become better informed about the duties of an executor, an increasingly larger number wish to leave this work to professional management and to an experienced fiduciary.
Well, I'm impressed by the need for help in planning an estate, and it's evident that the average person knows very little about it. I suppose we would be quite astounded if we knew, for instance, the number of men who consider themselves astute businessmen, yet who neither have wills or even have considered the possibility of estate planning. Now, does it cost much to have an estate planned?
So far as a trust company is concerned, there is no charge for its assistance in planning an estate. It should be remembered that a trust company does not draw wills, trust instruments, or other legal documents, but that such work is for the individual's attorney to do. Our experienced officers, however, are always ready for consultation without cost, and are happy to cooperate with and work along with one's attorney and life insurance underwriter. We constantly advertise our willingness and desire to help people with their estate problems. We receive our compensation when we become an executor or trustee, and not before that time.
Well, that's valuable information to have. It's highly important to know where to go for information and aid of that sort when we need it, and to know what costs are involved. I think most of us err on the side of thinking that such services are too expensive for us. Now, you mentioned that the trust company acting as executor or trustee. Does it cost much to have the company act as an executor or trustee?
Trust companies charge only the legal statutory fee for their acting as executor or administrator. These fees are the same, whether you use a trust company with all its facilities, or whether you use an inexperienced individual who has never handled an estate before and who has no qualifications for doing so.
Well, am I correct that the fee received by the executor or administrator is 5% on the first $1,000, and 2.5% on the next $4,000? And 2% on the balance over $5,000?
Yes, that's right.
Well, now, are there other sources of assistance in planning estates other than trust companies or banks?
Yes, there may be other individual sources of assistance in planning one's estate. We feel, however, that the combined knowledge, experience, and background of a trust company, an attorney, and a life insurance counselor offers a far better base of information and assistance to persons needing that sort of help.
Well, I've gained the impression that trust companies and investment counselors and so forth favor setting up trusts for women. Now, why are trusts of major importance to women?
Trusts are of major importance to women for a number of reasons. Statistics prove that, on the average, women live about 5 years longer than men, and the gap is widening. In spite of the greatly increased number of women in business and industry, In most homes, the man is still the breadwinner, and with his death, all earning power ceases. Unfortunately, many women are very unversed in financial and business matters. A trust is a means of assuring a person certain economic benefits without subjecting them to the burden of managing the assets comprising the trust. It gives one the advantage of professional management of trust assets. Trusts are very flexible and can be set up to cover a multitude of needs.
Well, I think you're right, but I think, too, that it's important for women to learn enough about financial matters to be able to judge whether or not the assets of her estate are being managed well. Then, too, there are many, many women whose estates are not large enough to merit setting up trusts. Now, earlier you mentioned living trusts. Would you outline as briefly as possible what enters into a living trust?
A living trust is created and is operative during one's lifetime. Ordinarily, the three parties involved consist of the person who sets up the trust and who is commonly called the donor, the trustee, and the beneficiary. Sometimes living trusts are set up for the benefit of the donor, and at other times they are set up for the benefit of the third party or parties. If the donor reserves the right to terminate the trust at any time, it is known as a revocable trust. But if he surrenders the right to terminate the trust, then it is known as an irrevocable trust. It is quite obvious that one should not enter into an irrevocable trust unless he has given it very serious and mature consideration. We would be very glad to cooperate with the family attorney and assist him in planning a living trust.
Well, I don't like the sound of an irrevocable trust too well, because there's no changing one's mind once it's set up. I personally see no advantage in making it irrevocable.
Well, the principal advantage of an irrevocable trust is the saving in estate tax. Now, several purposes can be accomplished through a living trust. For instance, one can be more assured of obtaining specific, experienced, and thoroughly responsible management of investments and other property. It establishes a separate estate. It avoids the interruptions, delays, and publicity of probate proceedings. It gives the donor the opportunity to work with the trust company during his lifetime so that the donor knows how his estate will be handled. And, of course, it may obtain possible tax savings.
Well, I don't believe there should be any question in any of our minds as to the importance of giving some thought to estate planning when we realize its value. It is a good thing to know that through the assistance of reliable and informed specialists, we can work toward the fundamental objective of every family in achieving security and flexibility and economy in the management of the family's financial affairs. It is also desirable to know that in planning an estate, the whole program may be tailored to fit our individual needs, rather than in accordance to inflexible statutes, which may not come anywhere near carrying out our wishes. Well, thank you, Mr. Hollander, for pointing up for us the need and importance of estate planning.
You have been listening to a recorded interview with Mr. Winfield Hollander, Vice President in the Trust Department of the First National Bank and Trust Company in Kalamazoo. This interview was conducted by Mrs. F.C. Birchfield. This was the seventh of a series of programs devoted to the business problems of the average family and the average individual. Mr. Hubert Stapleton, attorney at law, and Mrs. Birchfield and Mrs. Gould Fox will be with us next Wednesday evening at this same time to discuss wills. This has been another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.